In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, amen. The Gospel of today, the third week of the month of Kiyak, as we are well aware, we read the first chapter of the Gospel of St. Luke, and the first week in the month of Kiyak, we spoke about the Annunciation of who? John the Baptist, the birth of John the Baptist to Elizabeth and Zechariah. And the second week, last week, we heard about the Annunciation of the Lord Christ, through Archangel Gabriel to St. Mary. And this week is the visitation of St. Mary to Elizabeth. And St. Mary, after she heard that she was endowed by the Holy Spirit to give birth to the Savior, she immediately went and served Elizabeth for 3 months. And as we know, during pregnancy, these first 3 months are the most critical time in a lady's pregnancy. So for St. Mary to go and labor and care for somebody who is already 6 months pregnant was a great, form of service and work. And honestly, when I look at this, story, and I see St. Mary, who is this young woman who is now pregnant herself by the Holy Spirit, so she's facing pressure from her society to the point where, Joseph wanted to send her away when he found out. Then she went and served her cousin Elizabeth for 3 months. You look at this, and she and the travel, there and back and so on. We find that she accepted labor as something she'd be glad to do. And I think there is, on the contrast of this, there is a disease in our society that I think, if left unchecked or we're unaware of, can lead to the detriment of not only our social lives, but also our spiritual lives as well. And what I'm referring to here is the disease of entitlement. So I'd like to speak with you for a couple of maybe weeks about healing this disease of entitlement, because I feel like it's going rampant in our society, and our society fosters this type of attitude. And not only here in America, but even in some points in our Egyptian society as well, our Egyptian culture as well. So if we begin, we can ask the question, what do I mean when I say entitlement, or somebody who feels entitled? It's briefly defined as the belief that I am owed unearned privileges and am exempt from responsibility. So I'm owed something that I didn't work for, and I am exempt from certain responsibilities, or the responsibilities of my own actions. For example, sometimes I might, I gave some examples here. The first one is that someone who thinks that they are above the rules. Someone who thinks that they are above the rules. Sometimes we might have the idea, because I know the manager and he's my friend, then I'm exempt from certain rules that he has for the department. When I think that I have a close relationship with Abuna or whatever, there are certain rules in the church that I'm exempt from. Whenever I have a close relationship with anybody, then I feel like I'm exempt from certain rules. And this sometimes we'll find in the working field. Maybe somebody who's coming either from Egypt, and this is maybe stronger in Egypt than it is here. But the al-abara in Arabic, where they say wahad ali dahr, somebody who has like a back, or somebody who has his backing. This basically means that I know somebody in the company. So if I want to work somewhere, maybe my father is best friends with the manager of this company, and I know it because I have this kind of connection, no one can touch me. Therefore, I don't have to abide by the rules. I can come in late, I don't do work, I can leave early, and so on. This idea of, I think that I'm above the rules, is one example of an entitled individual. The second is someone who feels mistreated and needs others to make it up to them. I feel that I'm mistreated in some area of my life, and it's other people's responsibility to make it up for me. I'm mistreated at home by my spouse, therefore the people at work need to make it up to me. This also is a sense of entitlement. Also, a person who can take care of themselves but expects others to do it for them because he feels that it is owed to him. The classic example here is the adult child who's still living at home. The child who is 30 years old and still living with his parents, is not working, and is living off of his parents', you know, work. This is a classic example of entitlement, where he should be supporting himself and working and getting a job. But because maybe his parents are allowing him to do this, he refuses to go to work. And there are several cases of this where we find some children, they'll be locked in their rooms and they'll stay in their rooms and not come out. And they'll come out to eat and then go back and so on. And this is, you know, as parents, this is our responsibility. And we'll talk about more of what needs to be done, yani, in dealing with the entitled individual. But what are some characteristics of the entitled individual? The first, we said, an attitude of being more special than others, where I feel that I am more special than the next person. And grant you, in Christianity, we all believe that we are special, right? Because we're all God's children. But how does that differ? Because as a Christian, I don't think that me being special to God changes how God sees my neighbor. He's special as well. Actually, I think that all of us are equally special in God's eyes. But here's the difference. The person who is entitled feels that I am more special to God than my neighbor. Therefore, I deserve so-and-so from God more than my neighbor. So yes, we believe we're all special, but my specialness, so to speak, is not better or greater than my neighbor. Number two is the attitude of being owed and or deserving of something, which we spoke about. Number three is the refusal to accept responsibility. The refusal to accept responsibility. This is like a husband or a wife or a child who would rather not work at all and take a job than take a job that is humiliating to him or he feels that isn't fit for him. So you have a situation where a family can't find work, whether husband or wife, no one can find work in their particular field. And you go and you speak to them and say, or speak to him and say, did you try going to Walmart or going to some other place as a waiter or whatever to try to find a job to work? He might say, no, I can't. My pride won't allow me to do this. Karamti mistahmilsh, right? This idea here of I'd rather have nothing than go and work, you know, any kind of job to support my family means that I feel entitled. I deserve better than the job at, you know, so-and-so. This again is a feeling of entitlement. And I put up here a little picture because I think it explains it well. The person who is entitled puts things into two bins. The first bin is the I want bin. And if we grant the entitled person what they want, it stays in that bin. But in the event where we say, no, you can't have what you want, where does it go? It goes into the it's not fair bin. It's not fair, right? So it's either I want and you give it to me, or you're not being fair. This is a classic sign of somebody who feels entitled. The last is the denial of one's impact on others, where my decisions and choices won't affect anybody else except for me. And this is rarely the case, because most of the time our decisions we make will impact ourselves, will impact our spouse, will impact our children, and maybe the extended family and so on in our community. So this is the entitled individual. And it's something that is growing rampant in our society, as I mentioned. You know, when I was growing up, maybe when some of you were growing up, and certainly those who were of the first generation who came from Egypt here to America, we were of the philosophy and we understood that, you know, if you work hard, you will be rewarded. And this is the reason we came, you know, to America, right? The land of the free and the land of opportunity. If I can come here and I can work hard, then I should be given, or I might have an opportunity to make something of myself. So therefore we came. So we equated hard work to success, right? But now what I fear is the generation growing up thinks that, no, success is something that is owed to me. My parents owe it to me to give me everything. So and so owe this to me because of just who I am. My parents are lucky to have me as their child. Not vice versa, where I'm lucky to have parents like these. I kind of liken this to the stairs and elevator. And what made me think of this, I remember when I used to visit Egypt, my aunt and uncle, they lived on the 7th floor. And they had an elevator. And anybody who's lived or visited Egypt before or lived there knows that half the time the elevators don't work, right? You have elevator, but sometimes it's just there, but they really don't work. So in the month that I would be staying there, it was hit or miss. Sometimes they'd work, sometimes they wouldn't. So I can imagine going there and then standing at the bottom, pushing the button for the elevator, and it doesn't work. And then saying to myself, okay, well, I'm just going to stay down here and sleep down here. But you know, this is what the entitled person will do or will feel. All right, this is actually what I fear. I fear that our children, who maybe aren't used to climbing the stairs, or we haven't, you know, got used to going up the elevator and not used to climbing the stairs, would rather sleep on the bottom of the stairs than climb the 7 flights to sleep in our bed on the 7th floor in our room. Point here is that I would rather not work, for example, than take a job that I don't like or that might hurt my pride. I would rather not do the math because I don't have a calculator which might jeopardize my finances. I would rather live in slum, in, you know, filthy environment, than to do work to clean up my room and my house and my environment. Because if I don't, when I don't do this, this will jeopardize my health. And the same also goes in our spiritual life as well. Every aspect of our life requires us to do work to succeed, and our spiritual life is no different. At the end of the day, entitlement or the feeling of entitlement is a choice that we make, and the choice that we allow ourselves to be given into. You know, some people, when we look at Christianity and we read scriptures, there are some passages in scripture that can be misunderstood and that some people might take to allow their spiritual life to have a sense of entitlement even in our spiritual life. For example, listen to this verse, and I'm sure it sounds familiar. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Come to me, all you who labor or are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. So, if you look at the picture here, it's a picture of the Lord Christ who's carrying the luggage of a family who's back there walking, enjoying the scenery. Sometimes we read this verse and we feel like this is what Christ should do, right? He should take all of our labors, regardless of what we put in those suitcases. We can put the heaviest things, we can put our computers, our laptops, we can put clothes, winter clothes, everything in there. And guess who's going to carry it for us? The Lord Jesus, because this is what he promised, right? And then we're going to walk behind him, you know, casually, enjoying the scenery, enjoying the breeze, enjoying everything he's given to us. But is this the reality? No, it's not. Listen to the rest of the verse. It says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So is he saying to us that I'm going to carry everything? No. He says, give me what is yours, your yoke, because it's heavy, and I will give you my yoke that is light. So what happens if we don't carry his yoke? You think he's going to carry our yoke? What is his yoke and what is our yoke? Our yoke is what we cannot bear, which is the penalty of sin. He came and he bore this on the cross for us because we can't carry that. Regardless of how good we are, how many good deeds we do, and how virtuous we are, we can't carry that yoke. We can't forgive our own sins. So he came and took that upon himself. What is his yoke? His yoke is the yoke of his name, suffering for his name, maybe being insulted, maybe people looking at you weird because you're eating fasting food every day, whatever it might be. This is his yoke. And when you compare the two, yes, this yoke is very light compared to what he went through, right? So this is one example of sometimes we take a verse from the Bible and say, no, this is our ticket to rest. Another one comes from the Sermon on the Mountain. The Lord says, therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Then he continues and gives us an example. two examples. He says, look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, but yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you of not more value than some bird? And we might think and say, of course we're of more value from this more than these birds. And then he says, okay, look at the lilies of the field, the flowers, the wild flowers of the field. Look at them and how they grow. They don't toil or spin. But yet even Solomon is not arrayed as one of these in their beauty. Look what he describes. So what he's saying here is, if your Father, who is in heaven, knows you need them, will he not give them to you? And the answer we will conclude will be, of course. We as parents, you know, we want to give our Father, our children, everything, right? This is probably most of the reasons why we work so hard, is to give them a comfortable life, right? We give it to them. But then the Lord Christ puts a little, you know, twist on it. At the end he says, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. So are we left not doing anything? He's like, no. Your job is to seek first the kingdom of God, and all these things I will give to you. You don't worry about them. Sometimes, kids, we take the beginning of the verses where he says, don't worry about anything, I'll provide for everything, and we forget our responsibility. This is maybe sometimes, you know, this entitlement can even plague our spiritual life. Right? I don't need to, you know, God is, you know, a good and gracious God. Hawar bin a tayyib, right? He will accept any small prayer that I'm saying as I'm laying on the bed. And yes, he is tayyib. This is not what he expects from us. He wants more. Because just as we want more out of our children, he wants more from us. What are the challenges then of dealing with those individuals who are entitled? And I'll speak about both sides, about maybe so we can analyze or we can see if we suffer from this entitlement and if we know somebody who is entitled and how we can deal with them. The first challenge in dealing with an entitled individual is alienation. Typically, the people who have this entitled mentality, people don't like to be around them. And that's why you'll find them isolated and alone a lot of the time. So this definitely is a challenge to break that barrier of alienation. It's not easy. The second is anger. If we look at it, what happens when someone doesn't take ownership of what is theirs and throws that load upon you? What is your response? If you can ask any of the children who are doing group projects, you know, I hear this often in confession, Abuna, I do all of the work or most of the work in the project, and I have classmates that aren't doing anything. And they're complaining to me, and they're upset. They're angry. So the same thing, the entitled person who is supposed to be pulling their weight and is not pulling their weight, it makes the people around them angry because they're not pitching in, right? So this also is a hindrance, maybe, or something that is challenging in dealing with a person who feels entitled. Number three is maybe a sense of helplessness, where, and this is again maybe a common feeling in a marital relationship or a close friendship relationship, where you might feel that I brought this to their attention many times and nothing has changed. So a kid, I feel that this is yani helpless. It feels like all the reasoning and all of the warnings and love and care have fallen on deaf ears. So what are some of the causes of entitlement? I'll mention one of them or two of them now, and we'll finish, God willing, next week, and we'll begin talking about the treatment. But some of the causes of entitlement, number one, is relational patterns, a relational pattern. And this basically, what I mean here is we must learn that the feelings and concerns of other are just as important as my own. Where the people, my neighbors, their feelings are just as important as my own. Again, in a marital relationship, when there's one of them who has this entitlement feeling, they feel that how I feel is superior than how you feel. It doesn't matter how you feel, but only matters how I feel. This, again, when I'm not sensitive to the feelings of other people, will instill in me this sense, you know, of entitlement. Number two is praise and reward problems. The way we praise and reward maybe our children can also lead them to grow in this sense of, I feel like you know, I deserve something. But before I begin, before I mention these really quick, I want to go back and mention something, maybe a phenomenon that as parents we all kind of maybe do, which also may lead to the children growing up with this entitlement mentality. You know, all of us, or many of our parents who came from Egypt here, they came with nothing and they grew. Now the people that come have many family members and so on, but if you're talking about like in the 70s, and maybe early 80s, it was a different picture, right? People came and they worked very hard. So those who have worked very hard, or as parents, when we work very hard and we say we want to better for our children, but sometimes we fall into the trap of, I want to do better for them and not have them to work as hard as we worked. But to be honest, there is value in working hard. And sometimes this goes by us. No, I want to do and make so much money so my kids don't have to, for example, ever have a job, or my kids don't ever have to go through a hardship. No, I think we have to guide them, and it's good to provide for them, but at the same time, we have to teach them the value of hard work. Because at the end of the day, in all aspects of life, spiritual, social, physical, whenever we can work hard, that's when we find success in every aspect. And physically, if I learn how to physically work hard, then I will maintain my body in a healthy way. Right? If I learn to be a hard worker at work, then I will grow through the ranks, you know, because this is just my character of working hard, and people will see that. And my spiritual life is the same. When I work hard in my spiritual canon, my prayers and fasting and everything, then you can see a more consistent spiritual life and long-term growth in our spiritual life, all coming from hard work. So, we'll pick up, God willing, next week, because this point might take a little bit, and I don't want to run over the time. So, God willing, next week, we'll pick up with the causes of entitlement. And we said the first one was the relational pattern, where I value the feelings and concerns of others as I value my own. May God grant us to consider this issue of entitlement. And to be honest with you, all of us, in some small form or way, have this sense of entitlement in our life. And I'm not speaking about here this one instance, or maybe this one, you know, happening where this is how I felt, but I'm speaking about the generalized feeling of things. But even if I consider that I have a sense of entitlement with one person, or in one area of my life, maybe this is worth reflecting on and changing. May God be glorified in his saints forever and ever. Amen.